Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Broken Hearts at Chrysler.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It's Valentine's Day, but there could be nothing sweet about it for employees at Daimler Chrysler. Analysts expect the world's fifth largest car company to announce that 10,000 factory workers will lose their jobs. It's all part of a major restructuring plan. The plan is expected to include management job cuts and the closure of two factories. Daimler stock has fallen almost a third since the company purchased Chrysler back in 1998. The German sports car maker Porsche is ready to take control of fellow car maker Volkswagen. This news follows yesterday's preliminary move by the EU Court of Justice to scrap takeover protection for VW. From the European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
The second largest shareholder in VW is backing off from its attempt to block Porsche from taking control of the company. It says it won't stop Porsche from having three key seats on the VW board. This follows yesterday's preliminary ruling by the European Court of Justice, clearing the way for a takeover of VW. So Porsche, the luxury car maker, is now poised to take control of a much bigger company. But there could be a problem, says Richard Milne of the Financial Times.
The question is whether a strategy that's worked for luxury car makers is also one that can work for mass car makers.
Meanwhile, in the US, Volkswagen is trying to return to its roots as a people's car. In its latest advertising blitz, the company says it's seeking to correct the American perception that its cars are too expensive. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A number of factors, including the speculation that Alcoa could be purchased since stocks soaring yesterday. The Dow barreled ahead 102 points to 12,654. The Nasdaq bolted up 9 points to 2459. The S&P bulked up 10 points. It's at 1444. And it was full speed ahead in Tokyo today, too, as the Nikkei blasted up 131 points or 0.7%. The price of oil is easing up a bit after jumping more than 2% yesterday. Today, traders are watching and waiting for new information on oil inventories from the Energy Department. Light sweet crude is trading at just below $59 a barrel. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez is in India this week. He met India's prime minister this morning and asked him about Walmart. You see, the U.S. has been pushing India to open up its retail sector to more foreign investment, but India has been slow to respond. Miranda Kennedy has more from New Delhi.
Current Indian law bars foreign retail chains from selling directly to consumers. Secretary Gutierrez is here asking the government to change that. At the center of the struggle is Walmart. To comply with regulations, the retailer has an Indian partner who'll own the stores. Walmart will handle the supply chain. While Walmart may have its foot in the door, the U.S. insists that reform is needed. But first, Gutierrez finds himself dispelling fears that Walmart will be bad for India's 12 million independent store owners.
When you get a presence of an experienced operator, it adds tremendous efficiencies for the economy and for the supply chain. That helps everyone from the farmer all the way through to the retailer and to the consumer.
Analysts say if Walmart can't make it work, other U.S. companies are likely to back off from the world's fastest growing untapped retail market. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Hold on just a moment. A judge in Delaware is telling shareholders in Caremark they have to wait to vote on a proposed purchase by CVS. The judge ruled in favor of a shareholding pension fund that asked for more time to consider the deal. CVS is competing with a hostile offer from pharmacy benefits manager Express Scripts to buy Caremark. CVS had just sweetened this offer just hours before the judge put the brakes on the deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at Calvert.com.
Got your gift ready? Chocolate is the common gift du jour for today. And just in time for Valentine's Day, a new product is making its U.S. debut, Divine Chocolate. The CEO of that company is Aaron Gorman. Welcome.
Thank you.
Divine isn't just a new company. It's also a new kind of business. What's different about it?
The difference with Divine Chocolate is that it's part owned by the farmers of Kwapakoko in Ghana. They have a say in the company, and they have a share in the profits.
That's different from the way cocoa farmers usually are involved in the chocolate manufacturing process, isn't it?
Absolutely. Farmers historically have sort of been put into a place in the cocoa supply chain and in the chocolate market where most people never really hear about them, they never see them, and they really don't know what their lives are like.
The chocolate in Divine Chocolate is fair trade certified. What does that mean?
Fair trade certification is an international system that guarantees that farmers receive a minimum price for their cocoa, and on top of that, they receive a social premium that is then invested into community development projects. They've used it to invest in schools, in communities where there aren't schools, to provide good drinking water, to provide mobile medical clinics where the doctors go out into the rural regions where farmers wouldn't have access to health care, and they've also used it to train women in particular on how to engage in income generation so that they can have money for their families in the off season.
Is it true that many cocoa farmers have actually never even tasted chocolate?
In Ghana in particular, this is true because unlike in Latin America where you have the historical connection with the ancient Aztecs and Mayans using cocoa for various religious and cultural uses, in Ghana it was an imported crop and so there's no historical use. But also the heat and the lack of refrigeration in rural areas means that cocoa farmers might work their whole lives and never have enjoyed the delicious benefits of their work.
Now, your company is launching today in the U.S., but it already exists in U.K., doesn't it?
Yes, we first launched in the U.K. in 1997, and we then wanted to extend into the U.S. market because the U.S. is a $13 billion chocolate market, and even getting a small share of that back to cocoa farmers would really improve their livelihoods.
Sounds pretty sweet.
Thank you.
Aaron Gorman is the CEO of Divine Chocolate. If you're on the go, you can take us with you. That's because we're podcasting. You can find out more information by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a sweet day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.